This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Welcome to Disruptive CEO Nation, where company founders, entrepreneurs, and cutting-edge thinkers drop in from around the globe to share startup stories, insider insights, and hard-earned success lessons. Now, here's your host, a woman who mastered business by placing heels on the ground all over the world, having worked with and coached CEOs and senior leaders from over 90 countries, and who wants you to build your best business future, Allison K. Summers.
Welcome back to Disruptive CEO Nation. This episode, we have a wonderful company founder. We're going to talk about clean tech, and we're actually capturing our conversation at a point where they're just getting ready to take their message public. So they're in the early stages, and he's going to tell us all about it. He's going to tell us all about liquid air. So stay tuned, and Mark, I want to introduce Mark Kann to the show.
Thank you very much. My name is Mark Kann. I am one of the co-founders of Cryomax, as well as the CEO and the co-CTO. And our goal is to advance the adoption of zero emission technologies.
Well, and I want to hear more about how you're advancing zero emission technology, because I know in my prep notes, you are an expert on this topic of liquid air. So can you tell us a little bit more about what your company is targeting as its products and services?
Sure. Let's just do a real brief introduction of how our world actually functions and then why liquid air is important to that. So the world actually runs on energy, doesn't run on electricity, but we can generate essentially an endless amount of electricity from wind and solar now. We can do it very, very cheaply. The thing is that you still need something to go along with that. Now, usually that's in the form of the electrical grid where it delivers electricity to where it's produced, to where it's going. But you also need a form of energy storage. It's able to temporarily store this endless amount of electricity so that you can use it later on. And liquid air itself is not new. It's been around for about 120 years as an industrial process. And it actually allows us to produce all the food that we produce today. So the reason the world can grow so much food is entirely based on liquid air. And just to give a real brief background, the same way that you cool down water, it turns into ice. When you cool down the air, it turns into liquid air. And so we're essentially building on top of this already established process.
Okay. I feel like I need a whiteboard with lots of lines all over it, but I'm gonna embrace that, and we're going to move on, Mark.
Okay.
No, so we're catching you, like I said, as you're getting ready to take your message public. But let's take a step back, because you've been working in this space for a while. So can you give us a little bit of your background before you founded the company that you're promoting today?
Sure. So I've been involved with automotive basically my entire life. From the time that I could crawl on the floor, I was out in the garage. My family's always been involved with automotive and racing and motorcycles and anything that moves and has a motor engine. We've pretty much been around it. I started an automotive company very early on in life, customizing cars. I've taken apart thousands and started to find a little bit of this niche of there was companies who had the ability to produce these products, but they kind of really didn't know how to integrate them very well into these different markets. And so that actually started a product development company, which is where this all really started from, of working with these other companies to help bring their products to market. One of my own personal interests was always being able to bring the cleanest technologies into transportation to automotive. And it originally started with the LNG, which is liquefied natural gas, which we'll kind of skip over the details of that. But there was, at one point in time, there was a very big opportunity for LNG to have a big share of the market for transportation. And for various reasons, that just didn't really happen. But the work that we started in LNG has now transitioned over to where we no longer even need natural gas. We can just use the air that we breathe. And so the same mechanical process that's being used for LNG, we're now using just for air itself.
Okay. And so you are a co-founder. So tell me how you went about and what the main objective is with the new company that you've started.
Sure. So our original goal was to actually just be a component supplier. We basically wanted to supply these missing components that you had to have in order to make these zero emission technologies possible. And what happened was we really couldn't find the components that we needed. we got put in a position where in order to deliver the performance, we kind of had to design our own components. And that led us down a completely different path. And so we did not intend on being the sole supplier of a turnkey system whatsoever. We simply just kind of wanted to put our own magic, if you will, into some existing components to get out into the marketplace. And what happened was we just simply couldn't find what we were looking for. And so that led us down the path of, okay, we're going to kind of have to kind of move this forward by ourselves, at least initially. And so my co-founder, who has worked for defense contractors for decades and decades and worked on those top secret programs that we don't even know still exist yet, has a very strong background in doing what the cliche is, you know, taking something from a napkin design into the real world, which you take it just literally from a paper concept all the way to a physical product. And so once we kind of went down the path of, hey, we're going to have to actually develop and commercialize this ourselves, that's when we decided to go ahead and do a dedicated company, which is now Cryomatics.
So let's talk about patents for a second, because I love the phrase napkin design into the real world. And with that comes a lot of proprietary information. What kind of lessons have you learned about having to go through the patent process and about the money that you have to set aside as a founder to protect all of that information?
There's two different things that we have heavily on IP. One is the patents and the other one is trade secrets. For the people who are not familiar with the difference between them, your patents are things that are easy to replicate because your patents are public, and then the patent itself gives you a little bit of legal protection if it comes down to that. Whereas your trade secrets are something that are very difficult to replicate. It's something that you kind of create as you're going. And it's kind of almost this continuous process. And it's really, the patents kind of help create your foundation that you build on. And then the trade secrets is kind of actually how you kind of keep growing the value of the company's IP.
So let's talk about clean tech. Do you think we've clearly, you think we haven't done enough because you're out there solving a problem, but what do you see as the challenges and the barriers to getting to clean tech?
There's several different issues. Some are kind of interconnected, some are not. So one is that the energy industry operates on extremely long timelines. So for example, you know, semiconductors, they operate on the 18 to 24 month life cycle. The energy industry operates on 25 to 35 year life cycles. And so there's a very big disconnect between how long things have to operate and the life expectancy relative to other technologies. So that's something that's just some of the people who are just now getting into clean tech, they just need to understand the massive difference between the expectations of what works in energy and what works in other fields. At the same time, the rollout of technologies is being accelerated quickly. So before, no exaggeration, a utility would expect you to have 10 years worth of data before they'd even consider a solution. And that's just no longer realistic anymore. In 10 years, you can go from being cutting edge to being obsolete now. And so there's definitely been a big transition within the energy industry itself, where they're no longer dragging their feet because they know that they could get left behind. So there's a lot of things that are kind of happening all at once right now.
Do you find, I'm hearing from different founders I'm talking to not be surprised that, like you just talked about really long cycles, but to not be surprised that governments are starting to embrace innovation and looking for companies and helping them. Do you feel that the governments are going to help move clean tech forward in any way?
That's a very complicated question. So there's a lot of political momentum behind zero emission technology right now, which is politicians love to make these big flashy announcements. Oh, we're going to do this by 2030, do this by 2050. Guess what? Those politicians are going to be long gone before that ever happens. So a lot of the stuff that's out there right now is more for PR than it is for reality. However, the good news is that there was a lot of private capital that has been waiting for a very good moment to deploy. And that seems to be happening right now. And so you kind of have to view what the government's doing. Yeah, there's a lot of stimulus being talked about. There's a lot of things out there, but that's mainly on the PR side. However, on the private capital side, there is a tremendous amount of resources that's about to be deployed right now. Probably bigger than it's ever happened before.
No, and it's very exciting. And the whole concept of getting to zero emissions through so many different things, not just automotive and transportation, but through so many other ways, I think is just so vital for us as a society. So you've got this great product. You've spent these years developing it and nurturing. You're getting ready to really make a splash and get your message to the market and sign your customer contracts. How are you going about this next phase, Mark? What strategies are you employing now to get the word out and to knock on the doors and meet people?
Yeah, so our next two big milestones is we're going to have a delivery vehicle on the road that's collecting our real world data for us. And that's going to be our big jumping point to be able to go back to our future clients and say, hey, here's the real numbers. Here's our expectations based on those real numbers. Here's the value we can create for you. And then we can very quickly take a single vehicle pilot to a 10 vehicle pilot and into 100 vehicle pilot. So it's definitely something where you have to build your foundation correctly. That way it can support the rapid growth that comes afterwards.
Yeah. It's this concept of deep roots. I was talking with another founder about that as well, to make sure that you're really on solid ground. But when you take that path, it takes money. So can you just give us a little bit of insight to the financial approach you've taken to establishing your company?
Yeah, I mean, so far to date, we've done everything entirely bootstrapped. All the patents, all the IP, all our initial development work, that was all done internally, all bootstrapped. We are at the point where we are bringing on some outside resources in the form of sponsorships. And we're also pursuing a couple different grants just because what we do qualifies for a lot of different programs. There's a very good possibility that we will be participating in one or more programs that's based around grants. And that's going to be our next step till we get to the point of commercialization.
So Mark, we didn't share with our listeners that you're actually based in Georgia. And what's the climate in Georgia for supporting startups and entrepreneurs?
Sorry about that. We're actually based out of Florida. We're just a few minutes away from Kennedy Space Center, actually.
Oh, great location. Okay, so let's switch it or cover both. But for Florida, what do you feel the current environment is then for innovators and startups?
Well, one thing here, which I probably shouldn't be giving away the secret here, but where we're at, which is referred to as the Space Coast because of Kennedy Space Center, we actually have the highest per capita of people with a STEM background in the entire state of Florida. And there's so many hidden resources that are not only within the state of Florida, but the part of Florida that we're in. And it's one of those things where it's not directly because of, say, government programs, but it's kind of an indirect thing. So for example, there's so many defense contractors in Florida. There's so many contracts going to the aerospace companies that you kind of have this overflow ecosystem because people move here to work for those companies and then they end up starting their own companies. And so it's kind of this domino effect. And so on one hand, some of these programs were started in the 1960s, but we're still reaping the benefit of the overflow of those programs that were from 50, 60 years ago.
Well, thank you for sharing insight on that. I hadn't heard that before, but I'm sure if you're in that area, it's very obvious to you that all that great talent is there. How do you stay inspired? The journey that you're on and all of the research and the groundwork that you've had to do, because as we said, it doesn't happen overnight. How do you stay motivated to see this through?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question. Mainly because I had no idea that the transition was actually going to take as long as it took, which is if you go back to the original work that we were doing with the previous product development company, it basically goes back almost 15 years. At that time, if you would have told me it was going to take 15 years for us to actually have something on the road, I would have said, you're crazy. But here we are. So it's one of those things where ignorance is bliss, I suppose. And not knowing exactly how long it's going to take for things to work out is actually work to our advantage.
Well, where do you see, if we come back and talk to you in 3 to 5 years, what do you want the story to be then?
Well, hopefully in 3 to 5 years, we've achieved the level of adoption that we're pursuing. We're heavily pursuing the commercial fleet customers. Just if you go back 1,000 years of human history, technologies and transportations almost always scale from the commercial side of things, which is moving goods and or people. And so we're pretty confident that we create enough value for our commercial clients that they're going to want to adopt it. And then from there, we'll be able to scale into other use cases that will continue to help other people.
Well, Mark, I want to thank you for being our guest today. Can you tell our listeners where they can go find out more about the company?
Sure. People that are interested in the technology and to see where we're going, they can go to www.cryoenergy.tech.
Mark, again, I appreciate you sharing this insight on clean tech and what it's taken to get your company underway. And I can so appreciate your comments about, you know, the 15 years to get to where you are. But I think, you know, the market's right. And it's definitely a needed endeavor for all of us. So thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.
To our listeners, if you enjoyed Mark's story, and if there is somebody that you believe needs to hear it, please forward a copy of this podcast to them. If there is a disruptive and innovative CEO that you think that we need to speak with, send me a note at connect@allisonksummers.com. Until then, keep your eye on the future and always be disrupted. Mark, again, appreciate it so much.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.